Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. These messages are intended to spark your own reflections and conversations all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime along with other resources and ways to keep the conversation going at fabricmpls.com/scraps.
Well, good morning, Fabric. It's great to see you. I am Greg Meyer, and good to have you here this morning with us. So we are. Amanda alluded to that. We are here today. Next week is Pride Weekend, and we want to be Fabric with Pride Weekend next week, which is kind of what I'm going to talk about for a couple of minutes here so that we can get our own heads together about how would we be Pride next weekend. And so I just want to give us some orientation on that. Last week when I was speaking, I said that we started Fabric, then Jacob's Well, 12 and a half years ago, not because South Minneapolis needed another church, but because we felt that we needed to find a new way to be church. And that's incredibly true. I don't know if you use that language about being church, but for me, that's what it's all about. And I think even though you maybe don't use that language, that's really what this community is about for you. It's not having a church, but it's being a church. See, church isn't something that exists outside of us that we would join. Church is something that we are and do. Church isn't something that we impose on the world. Church is something that reflects the way the world really works and that then we align ourselves with because it makes sense. And church isn't ceremonies, it isn't traditions, it isn't doctrinal statements, buildings, programs, buildings, institutions. It's not an hour and a quarter on Sunday morning. Church is a way of being. So I think that's important. The shorthand way that we say this an awful lot, and this is actually on your Sunday paper if you flip over and want to follow along on the back side of that, we say that Fabric, in this case, is a people, not a place, right? It's a people, not a place. This is Field Community School. We meet here, all right? Fabric meets here. Fabric is a people, not a place, or a time of the week, or whatever. So your job and my job isn't to join Fabric, but to be Fabric. And here on Sunday mornings, or meeting with your group, or going to the Bondo Waters with the high school kids, or helping with setup on a Sunday morning, or making dinner for someone who's on the meal train right now because they need some help in their lives, those are all great ways of being Fabric, but they aren't the only ways of being Fabric, because you are Fabric all the time. You're a Fabric at home, you're a Fabric at school, you're a Fabric at work, you're a Fabric when you go shopping, you're a Fabric when you're checking your newsfeed, you're a Fabric when you call your dad today to tell him how much you love him, which is something you should do. I think you get it, right? I mean, you are Fabric, and all we do is Fabric. And so on your outline again, well, you are Fabric, and so we, as a community, we try to reflect this three-stranded way of looking at the world, this way of understanding ourselves, our true selves, and how we weave our lives with others, including, you know, all others, but also all of creation, and then also with God, this out-of-the-box concept of which encompasses all of us. And then you do that. Okay, that's what we try to do as a community, but then you do it in the way that all of that reflects who you are. So on your outline, it says, being Fabric is expressing who we are in your way. Being Fabric is expressing who we are in your way. Now, that means many, many different ways. And this is a basic premise we have here with Fabric in our community, is that we value diversity. We value diversity of belief. We value diversity of perspective, of interest and passion. Diversity, not all having the same agenda, is not our problem. That is our strength. That is our strength. So we find our unity in some bigger and some more important and some deeper places. So all that is to say that being Fabric on Sunday morning is a great thing we do together, but it's just one way of being Fabric. And it's not necessarily, in fact, I would say it isn't the most impactful way of being Fabric. We are much more powerful. We have much more impact on the world when we are all out being Fabric in our own ways. I mean, just think of the surface area we have when we're doing that. So next week, we want to be Fabric with our LGBTQ sisters, brothers, or selves in the ways that make sense for each of us, those more powerful ways, not here, but out there. And we want to use today This time we have together today to help you think about that and to figure out, how will I do that? How will I be fabric with the queer community next week and beyond, okay? So a couple of reasons. I want to run through a couple of reasons why we do that. One is that a whole lot of us are going to do it whether we set aside that time to do it or not, because it's an important issue among us, all right? And here's what I know. What that tells me is that for those of us who are already intending to be at Pride, not here, they weren't choosing to go to Pride and not come to church. No, they were choosing to be fabric there, not here. Do you get that distinction? I mean, that is to the heart of who we are and what we are about. And since there are so many of us for whom that is important, I think it's a good idea for all of us to consider, how would I be a part of that as well? So we want to be doing that. Another reason that I think it's really important for us to do it is that it's very important for us to stand with what Pride is all about. It's important for us to stand with what Pride is all about. That self, that first strand, that self that loves neighbor as oneself, or that reflects the love that we have for God with our whole hearts, soul, mind, strength, all right? That isn't just a cisgender, straight self that we're talking about, right? We don't live in an either-or, black, white, in-out kind of world. We live in a world that is beautiful, that is complex, that is varied, that just reflects a diversity in this world that is beyond our imagination. God's love is big enough for all of that. And we need to help our lives be that way too. And when I say God, I just think it's important for us to clarify this periodically. When I say God, I'm not talking about some deity sitting on a throne someplace who's making rules. What I'm talking about is this presence that is beyond our comprehension, but at the same time also present within us and around us at all times. It's bigger than that narrow idea of God. So taking that idea, why be Pride this weekend? Because, and this is on your outlines, you're following that, because we are all one in God's love. We are all one in God's love. Now that word all, I'm working with a very specific definition of the word all. A lot of people use the all to mean all the people that are like me. I'm using all in a way that means all, okay? Like, it actually includes all. And that's funny, when the Bible says all, that's kind of who it means. And so we're trying to take that seriously. That was kind of a dad joke, but all right. All right, but that's true. I mean, that is how we do it. There's this little tidbit of wisdom from Paul, who was like the early guy after Jesus' life. He was trying to help all these people are trying to figure out, how do we live this out? How are we going to be church the way Jesus was showing us? And so he was giving them these tidbits of information, these tidbits of wisdom. And there's this one here. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Now, that isn't like those were the three categories we have to get around, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, male, female. I mean, he was just listing three of the real hot-button issues among his people. And believe me, Jew or Greek, male, female, slave, free, those are really, really big issues in his time, all right? It represents all the things that we divide ourselves, the things that make us not one, that make it become exceptions to our all. Those are the things he's saying, no, we are all one, all right? Okay, so that's number two. A third reason to stand with Pride is all about what Pride is all about next weekend is this. Our LGBTQ fellow citizens on Earth need our support, right? They need our voices. They need our bodies. And why? Because we are asked to be on the side of the oppressed. We are asked to be on the side of the oppressed. Now, you might say, oh, that oppressed, that's kind of a big, heavy, you know, kind of word. Isn't that a little dramatic? No, that's what it is. Anyone who is told that who they are isn't legitimate, it isn't valued, it isn't welcome, and then systems are put in place to help discriminate against them systematically, all right? That is what we call oppression. They are oppressed. And that is true about the queer community among us today. Now, as people who claim to be about this three-stranded life, where we weave ourselves with our true self, the person who's really deep inside here, and with all others, and with this, which is beyond us, right, with God, I don't think we can, one, be against that community. I don't think we can also sit idly by and say, well, I hope everything works out for them. I think we need to stand with them, all right? That's just a given. 3,000 years ago, there was this vision for what the people who are trying to follow this Yahweh, the name of God, I am who I am. There's this vision that they had of who they were and of what the person that was going to come, the one who would unite them all, what that person would do. And listen to this language. You've heard this before. The people who walked in darkness, meaning the people who have no hope, right? The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You've multiplied the nation. You haven't reduced and divided it. You've multiplied the nation. You've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. Why? Because the yoke of their burden, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken. You've broken as on the day of Midian. That's our mandate. That's who we are called to be. That's what we are to be about for other people. Now, I've used the Bible to kind of make a connection with these last two points. I don't need to do that. I think these points are just basic takeaways of human compassion. But I wanted to use the Bible because I think it's really important for us all to know that the heart of the Bible, when you dig in here and say, what is it about? It is for the LGBT community, not against them. It is for all of our marginalized communities, not against them. And unfortunately, the Bible is not always used that way. In fact, the Bible isn't used that way a lot, and that's a problem. And I think we need to know that it is differently, and that is the message of it. So here's what we're going to be doing. In just a couple minutes here, we're going to start something called Open Space that is going to help us figure out how we can be fabric with the LGBTQ community this coming week, coming weekend. And what we do with, this is called Open Space, the exercise we're going to do now. And we've done this before here. It's not been a while, so it's going to be new for some of you. But it's a great way of having conversation groups that'll help you, you know, figure something out. In this case, figuring out how am I going to stand with the Pride community next weekend, okay? And the purpose of it is two things. One, connect you with people that you have questions about and just want to talk about, to have some conversation, get the information you need. And two, then, the second purpose is to figure out what you're going to do next weekend. All right? That's pretty simple. And when I say next weekend, let's be a little loose about that. First of all, it might be on your own. It might be just something I'm going to go do. It might be something to do with your family. It might be something to do with a group of people from here or elsewhere. That's not the point. But it will be what you're doing. And also, we aren't just talking about what you're going to do 10:30 next Sunday morning. It might be 10:30 next Sunday morning. It might be on Saturday. It might be on Saturday and Sunday. It might be all week long. It might be a beginning of an ongoing thing you're going to do all the time. All right? So don't just get stuck on how am I going to replace this hour and a quarter. And afterward, we'll come back and kind of hear some of the takeaways from each of these groups. So here's how it's going to happen. If you look on your outline on the back there, it has the kind of the practices of open space, and it's really pretty simple. But one thing we're going to do is we're going to have some spaces for kids. And Heidi, can you just give us real quickly what's going to be available, what's going to be going on for our younger ones?
Sure. First of all, if you have like a really little one, this would be a great time to maybe have them join in the wiggle room. They're going to have their own book and activity to do in there, so that's one option. And then Robin is going to have a group of kids on that mat, and they're going to read a book, a couple books, that is talking about pronouns and how that fits into this weekend. And then I'm going to have a group over here, maybe 7 to 10-year-olds, and we're going to also be reading a couple books and talking about it on this mat.
That's fantastic. So other kids that want to join in the conversation, older kids, feel free to go with your parents or go to the group that makes sense for you. So this is what's going to be. Well, here are the possible conversations that are going to be happening so that you know what your options are. And we have a couple that we've already lined up. We'll be asking to share that with us in just a second. But then there might be other conversations that you didn't feel were represented that you would like to speak up for and say, I'd like to talk to some people who are interested in this. So we'll give you a chance to do that as well. Then we'll all go to the conversation that interests us. And we'll all stay in this room. We're just going to kind of go off into the corners. Everybody have a piece of newsprint. You can write ideas and stuff. So just go and participate, engage, ask questions, give ideas, talk, and move towards figuring out what you're going to do. I know it's tempting to just talk about the issue, and of course you're going to do some of that, but try to move towards, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to live this out next week? And then the other thing is, you aren't stuck where you first go, all right? There may be multiple groups that are interesting to you, or the group you went to isn't what you thought it was going to be. Just go find the group that is going to be the most interesting for you. And you have no obligation except for you to get the information you need, right? That's everybody's only obligation.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about just how to interact with family and friends that are not LGBTQ affirming or inclusive. And we also talked about how that interacts with supporting our LGBTQ friends. And the conversation we decided was, when we're in conversation with people that are not affirming, it's important to be curious, asking questions, and maybe answering with a question rather than an answer or a statement. Kind of going back to that third way thinking idea that we talked about a few months ago, when we talked about there's a third way and neither of us has to lose, because if it's an either or, one of us is gonna lose. We also talked about leading by example and standing in the gap for your LGBTQ friends and family and standing up for them. We also talked about staying calm in the moment and how important it is to maintain composure, because we can't be impactful when we are frazzled and out of control. Focusing on love versus hate and the idea that Jesus came to love people, and he was very radical in that. And so focusing on that, especially if you have friends and family that are from a religious background, and so kind of pointing them in that direction and asking the questions surrounding that. And also talking about the use of stories and how many stories are out there about suicide rates with LGBTQ teens, which are rather alarming, and using that as a talking point and just noting the importance of helping to slow that. So that was what we talked about in our group.
Hi, I'm Jay. This is Steph. We're new here. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for being Fabric. We've been on a church hunt, for 4 years? And what brought us here is we were looking for a place that was open and welcoming, and was doing church differently, and we think what you guys are doing is really cool. We first started talking about, just in general, the kind of questions that kids come up with, some of the challenges that we have, just being out in the world today and seeing some of the things that are out there with differences in gender and the queer community, and you know how it can be difficult to talk about it. And as we talked about how to deal with some of those situations, especially with Pride coming up, we talked about books and mentioned, you know, not just for Pride, but we could even look at books in the pond and having books that show some of those different types of families and how we can embrace it. We talked about movies and TV shows that might actually give exposure to kind of open up the conversation with kids. And then as a part of the conversation, resources to help answer questions as kids have questions. And as we talked about that, we felt that what would be really great for Pride is to get an email out to Fabric with some of those resources. What are some of the books that, if you want to be Fabric in your home with your kids, is there a book that you could read with your kids to just give them that exposure, a show that you could watch with them, a resource, so when you read that book and they start asking questions, you're armed, you're prepared, you can handle some of those questions. And then another thing that we talked about is, if we are interested in going into an event for Pride, you know, there were questions of, okay, how do I know what's family friendly? And, you know, what could I be exposed to that I might have to talk about? And so the other thing we talked about is, it would be great if we knew where other people in Fabric were already gonna be, and if they would welcome connecting with others, especially if you have kids, so that, hey, maybe we're not going through that experience alone, we can go through it together, and we have a friendly face as we're stepping outside and being a little uncomfortable to go out and be allies to the queer community.
Good stuff.
Hi, I'm Laureen.
We were talking about what we can do to support the LGBTQ community beyond Pride weekend, and had some really good conversation about what that looks like, depending on who you ask. But just one sort of global idea was that it's easier to be supportive when you're in a community that's supportive, and so the fact that Fabric is one of those communities where we encourage affirmation of LGBTQ folks. It helps us be brave and step into those places by being with others who are supportive. A few very concrete things we talked about that we can do in our everyday lives. To have pronoun stickers when we sign in at Fabric. And to introduce ourselves using our pronouns. So I'm Laureen and I use she, her. We talked about wearing Pride t-shirts and stepping into the conversations that could spur just by walking through our communities. And for those who for whom those conversations are kind of overwhelming and wouldn't want to step into that, we can support LGBT-friendly and affirming businesses and boycott those that aren't. Also put our pronouns at the in our signature lines of our emails to just sort of have that become the new norm. And then we really talked about, again, the role of cisgender and straight folks in this conversation, and a caution about not appropriating that conversation, I think similar to what you were saying in your group. And also recognizing the diversity of identities and opinions and perspectives within the LGBTQ community.
Hi, I'm Katie Shala Leshak. And so, like Jay and Steph, except about 12 years ago, I was looking for an open and welcoming community. I'm putting you on the spotlight for a second, Greg.
Go ahead.
So I asked, because my mom's in-law, I wanted to make sure that they felt welcome. I think at the time your quote was, we try to focus on the things that unite us, not divide us. And now we're talking about the things that divide us really openly. And I think it's amazing that, well, I didn't realize at that time that I would need this community as a support for my own journey in my family around gender in particular. And this is the place where I feel comfortable and at home to be ourselves. And so I want to thank you. Nice work.
Welcome.
So what that represents is, I think, growth and learning and being willing to like have conversations together. And especially recently, I've had some really challenging conversations with people where it's, you know, we're, you know, kind of about binary stuff and blah, 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 all this stuff. So I'd like to just kind of focus a little bit on gender in particular. Like we say LGBTQ plus as if it's like all one big thing. But I think the thing that I'm really learning is the idea of being open to come and like, in order to learn more, you have to actually talk with people who are experiencing things. So kind of how do you open yourself? What language can you use in your everyday life going into the co-op, talking with the cashier to be open to a different way of being in terms of gender in particular. So that's kind of where I'm at with our conversation today. We talked a little bit about the idea that parents, a couple of us parents, feel very supportive, but the kids who are experiencing, who identify as something other than gender binary in the sex that they were assigned at birth, that their experience has been different, and who is doing the talking about these issues of oppression. So if we're gonna talk about LGBTQ+, why don't we have people who identify within that range doing the talking about the issue? And then, we talked a lot about language and misgendering. We talked a lot about kids' experiences in school. We talked a lot about the gender expectations for their kids as a boy or a girl, regardless of how they were assigned at birth and how they identify now. And that's just huge. Like, it's hugely ingrained in our society. We talked about the idea of Fabric having a women's retreat and a men's retreat. And just, do we, you know, can we look at that idea? We talked about some generational differences. But I'm just curious if anyone has, like, a next step that they are thinking about for yourself or for Fabric around this.
So our book club is reading a book called This Is How It Always Was by Lori Frankel, which is about a family going through their fifth child. They had four boys and a fifth boy, but by the time he was like three, started asking when he could become a girl and how he could become a mom when he grew up and things like that. So it's the story of their family.
Yeah, so learning opportunities about that, but maybe engaging people who have had the experience and the conversation to kind of bring it to personal life. And I think just in general, the idea of expansiveness, leaving space for how people are in their own bodies and in their identity, and then looking at it as kind of a developmental process. At a certain age, sexuality comes in as well. Oh, who's doing the talking? We talked about that. So who, bringing in people to actually share. That's the next step. And then the idea of tokenism, too, of not, I don't know, there's a balance in there.
Hi, I'm Melissa. And for me, the phrase, what makes sense for you, that's a challenge we all got. What makes sense for you, how to be Fabric around this, not only next weekend, but beyond. But specifically thinking about what you might want to do. Has to start with you honestly saying, here's where I'm at. We owned the, like, I think that just that we're coming from, have we all have connections with spaces that are not that kind of community, where it's much more black and white, like, you know, this whole idea of having this conversation would be crazy. So that was one thing that was named in our group. We talked about how brave it is to show up for the conversation, honestly, and how much more helpful it is when you have real people and relationships to navigate and learn with rather than staying theoretical. So we're hoping an action step would be to find ways to hear stories and share our own stories over this next week, for sure. So maybe if some of you are game for that, I feel like that we're not the only ones talking about, like, having the chance to hear and share some stories and move forward in the conversation that way would be really helpful.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for being a part of this very non-conventional way of being Fabric on Sunday morning. I think this is good for us to experiment with that sort of stuff, so being a part of that today is fantastic.
Thanks for listening. We hope you take this conversation and keep it going. If we are adding value to your life, we appreciate your support of this work so we can engage more people in these conversations that matter for their real lives, too. You can do that at fabricmpls.com/give. We'd also love to have you join us any Sunday morning at 10:30 at Field Community School in Minneapolis. That's at 4645 4th Avenue South. There are opportunities for kids of all ages to connect to. Learn more by searching Fabric Minneapolis.